of Romans. Romans, the third chapter, verses 24 and 25. I'd like to continue our series in the book of Romans, leading up to verses 24 and 25, chapter 3. God declares all mankind as guilty sinners. This morning's sermon is titled, Sin's Only Remedy. Sin's only remedy is faith in Jesus Christ. Sin's only remedy is faith in Jesus Christ. Note verses 24 and 25, please. The Bible reads, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, please fill us now with Your Holy Spirit. Give us ears to hear. Give us an understanding heart. And Lord God, grant us the ability to humbly submit to Your word this morning. May Jesus Christ be glorified. In His name we pray. Amen. God declares all of mankind as guilty sinners. Verses 9 to verses 23. Verse 23 reads, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you might say this morning, I'm a good person. I'm religious. I believe in God. I give to charity. I've been baptized. I try to live an honest and moral life for the most part. I think I deserve to go to heaven. Don't you? Well, my friend, God has not asked for our opinion. In fact, God has not asked for a time of discussion on the issue. The Word of God clearly declares, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are guilty sinners before a holy God. Whether religious or not, that is final. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What is God's remedy? Sin's only remedy is faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Please note verse 22 of Romans chapter 3. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. What is God's remedy for sin? My friend, this morning, faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ alone is God's remedy for sin. And this salvation is available to all that believe or place their faith in Jesus Christ as Saviour. Note there at the end of verse 22, upon all them that believe, there is no difference. God is not partial. God is no respecter of persons. We are all guilty sinners before a holy God. So in spite of that sentence, our only hope is faith in Jesus Christ. And this faith in Jesus Christ is applied to your heart and to my heart
when we believe on Christ as our Savior, that is, we receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior from sin. We acknowledge the fact that we are sinners, as the Bible teaches. We choose to believe by faith that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world, and that He was buried, and on day number 3 He arose from the dead. And upon confession of sin, recognizing that we cannot earn our own way to heaven, and believing in the fact that Christ died in our place, at that point, if we are prepared to believe on Jesus Christ, in other words, place our faith, our trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we can be born into God's family. And the Bible teaches us at the end of verse 22, there is no difference. Not only are we all sinners, but there is also no difference in God's availability of eternal life, of deliverance from sin. So God's only remedy for sin is faith in Jesus Christ. And when a person receives the Lord Jesus Christ as their own Savior, we partake of some eternal benefits. Now verses 24 and following outline for us some key eternal benefits that are part of salvation in Christ. And I'd like for us to note these benefits. My friend, if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ not only died for your sins, was buried and rose again, and if you will choose to confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, recognizing that you are sinful, but Christ died in our place, you can be born into God's family. By faith, by repentance, turning to Christ, and by faith receiving Him as Savior, we can be born into the family of God. But Pastor, I'm religious. I believe in God. I'm trying to live an upright life. Doesn't this have any bearing? Does this carry any weight concerning eternal life? Well, I wish it did, my friend. But the Bible teaches us that our works of righteousness are as filthy rags. And mankind is not saved by what he can do. Man is saved from sin by placing his faith in Christ, who has done what we could not possibly do in our own strength. It's faith in Jesus Christ alone. And it's available to all mankind. Note here in verse number 24 the usage of the word justified. Being justified freely by His grace. When we receive Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, we partake of some eternal benefits that are in Christ, that are the inheritance of those that are Christians. And I'd like for us to note first and foremost this morning the word justified there in verse 24. It's a beautiful word. It's a Bible word. It means to be regarded as innocent. See, we were guilty sinners. But when we, by faith, receive Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, we are born into the family of God, and the Bible teaches us that we are justified. We are regarded as innocent. We are declared justified. It literally means just as if I had never sinned. See, it's one thing to be forgiven. It's one thing to have your sins forgiven, and yes, our sins are forgiven, but beyond forgiveness is justification. And that is, God declares us innocent, as if we had never sinned. That's a wonderful benefit that I enjoy as a Bible-believing Christian. And this justification is offered freely. Note then verse number 24. Without charge. We cannot earn justification. It is freely given to each one that receives Jesus Christ as Savior. But at a great expense to God in the death of His only begotten Son. Freely offered to all. But at an expense. An expense to God the Father who surrendered His Son, Jesus Christ. So we are justified freely by His grace. The word grace then means unmerited favor. We don't deserve such treatment. We don't deserve to be seen as completely innocent of sin. But my friend, when you and I receive Jesus Christ as Savior, the Bible teaches us that we are justified. Beyond forgiveness, we are declared innocent, just as if we had never sinned in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful benefit that we enjoy as God's people in our salvation in Christ. Justification. But also note there in verse 24, the usage of another word. The word is redemption. Redemption. The word redemption means to be ransomed or to pay in full for another. Now listen to me carefully. In our sin, we were captive. We were captive to sin. We were not only guilty of sin, we were captive to sin. This word redemption conveys to us that in Christ Jesus, that we have been bought out of sin, so to speak. We've been set free, just like a slave purchase within the biblical day. And that slave was purchased at a slave market. And upon the purchase of that slave by that individual, the individual then turns around to the slave and tells the slave, "You're free. I bought you out of slavery. Now you are free." That is the word redemption. Jesus Christ, He purchased our deliverance from the slave market of sin through the death of Himself on the cross by the shedding of His blood. There is justification in Christ Jesus. There is redemption. God has purchased us with His precious blood. We've been set free. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, the Bible reads, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, perishable things like silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." John 8:36, "If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." In Christ Jesus we have redemption. We've been ransomed. Somebody, and that somebody is Jesus Christ, paid our price, delivered us out of the slave market of sin, and has set us free. And all of God's people said amen to that. So our salvation encompasses justification. We've been declared innocent. Our salvation encompasses redemption. God the Son paid for our freedom. But also, note the word propitiation there in verse 25. Pastor, these are big words. Yes, they are. They're very, very important words. And it's very important that we understand these words. Because if you can understand these words, then you will understand more fully the salvation that has been purchased for you and I in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Note then verse 25, the word propitiation. The word propitiation, translated propitiation here in verse 25, means to reconcile. To reconcile. The word justified means to be declared innocent. The word redemption means to be ransomed or to be set free at the expense of another. And the word propitiation here means to be reconciled. See, in our sin, we were the enemies of God. The Bible likens us to aliens, estranged to God. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, and we repented of our sin and by faith placed our trust fully in Christ as our Savior, propitiation took place. Reconciliation took place. The Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 tells us that Jesus Christ was made sin for us, the one that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We've been reconciled. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Reconciliation. See, salvation reconciles man to his Creator. We have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way, which He, that is Christ, hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. So when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He shed His blood and He provided a means by which man can be reconciled back to God. Propitiation. Beautiful word. Now the word is also translated mercy seat in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 5. That mercy seat upon which the high priest would sprinkle that blood on that day of atonement was for the ultimate purpose to reconcile a holy God with a sinful man. And I say hallelujah to that. Propitiation. Reconciliation. Man being reconciled back to God. This is the great salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. We have been declared innocent. We've been ransomed. God paid our sin debt and has set us free. We are no longer under the bondage of sin. And also we've been reconciled. But also note there in verse number 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness. Now the word righteousness here in verse 25 and the word justified there in verse 24 are the same base word. But the word righteousness here, when this word was translated righteousness, His righteousness, it is to convey the thought that in Christ Jesus we have been not only declared innocent, but also in Christ Jesus we are made holy. This is what we call imputed righteousness. That as God the Father looks down upon the child of God through God the Son, He not only sees innocency, He sees holiness in Christ Jesus. Therefore we are to be holy, for He is holy. Imputed righteousness. We have been declared holy. And may God help us as the people of God to live holy lives. And to live up to this position that we have in Christ Jesus, that we have His righteousness imputed to us. That's a wonderful thought. As God the Father looks down upon God the Son, as God the Father looks upon the child of God through God the Son, He sees holiness. He sees holiness. We have been made holy. But also note then verse 25. Are you still with me? Note the word remission. Now listen carefully. This word translated remission only appears this one time in the Bible. The base word translated remission here only appears once in the Bible, and here it is. Note here it reads, for the remission of sins that are past. The word remission means to cancel a debt. We were in debt to God because of our sin. Would you agree with that? We were in debt to God because of our sin. But in Jesus Christ, by faith, we enjoy remission. This debt has been cancelled. The word remission in a literal sense means to send back or to restore. And note then verse 25, for the remission of sins that are past. That is all sin. All sin. Including the sins committed within the Old Testament economy, we as God's people have remission of sin. Past, present, and future. It is all under the blood of Christ. The debt has been cancelled. See? And last but not least this morning, note the word forbearance there in verse 25. Forbearance. Through the forbearance of God. The word forbearance means to tolerate, to endure, to suffer under, through the forbearance of God. We that were once deliberately in sin and living in rebellion against God, we are saved by faith. And in our salvation, we experience the forbearance of God. The word comes from an old English word which means to refrain from exercising a legal right. To refrain from exercising a legal right, or the enforcing of a payment, a justified payment. To refrain from exercising a legal right. That is forbearance. Listen to me carefully. God's justice cries out hell for sinners. But God's love met justice at the cross. Where salvation has been provided for all those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they experience the forbearance of God. Now, brethren, this morning, may God help us to understand that we enjoy our salvation in Jesus Christ not only based upon the love of God, but also based upon the forbearance of God, because for the wages of sin is death, and we in true justice deserve hellfire. We don't deserve God's redemption. We don't deserve God's deliverance. But because God has been forbearing, God tolerated you and I, and He was willing to provide a Redeemer for mankind. And when men, women and children repent and by faith receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, they enjoy the forbearance of God. In 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's a wonderful salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And my friend, this morning I trust and pray that you've experienced this salvation by faith. I trust that you have personally invited Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Because in Christ you can be justified, declared innocent. In Christ you can be redeemed, set free at the expense of another. In Christ Jesus you can be reconciled in Christ Jesus. Propitiation. In Christ Jesus you can be declared righteous, holy before a holy God. And in Christ Jesus you can have your sin debt cancelled once and for all, remission. And in Christ Jesus you can also experience the forbearance of God. The forbearance of God. Each of these six words help us to have a little bit of an understanding concerning the salvation which is ours in Jesus Christ. And see, this salvation by faith eliminates human pride. Because note then verses 27 and 28. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So this salvation by faith eliminates any room for human pride that would cry out, well, I'm a good person. I'm earning my own way to heaven. My friend, no, you cannot earn your way to heaven. Not of works, it's by faith alone. And for those of us that are trying to work our way to heaven, let me ask you, what works qualifies and how much? Tell me, how much? Is it Hindu works? Is it Buddhist works? Is it Catholic works? What type of works? Which type? Is it Muslim works? Islam works? Which works? Works. Which works? Works. And then how much of the works? Works. Once you've worked out which type of works? Works, then how much of the works? See, it's an endless spiral, my friend. You have no guarantee. You have no assurance. Because there is no assurance in works. It's by faith alone. It eliminates pride. But also note then verse 29 and 30. I'm almost done. Bear with me. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yea, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify, note this, the circumcision or the religious person by faith and uncircumcision, the non-religious person by faith. By faith, the religious person is made just before God. By faith, the person that is not religious is made righteous before God, is just before God. And then he closes in verse number 31 by saying, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. And what that simply means is this. The law, for example, the Ten Commandments, enable us to see that we are sinners and we need a Savior. And Galatians chapter 3, verses 22 to 24, tells us that the law is our schoolmaster or our teacher that leads us to Christ. So there is a benefit in the law, the standards of God. They cannot earn you and I the right to heaven because we're all falling short of that standard of perfection. So the law reveals to us that we are sinful. My friend, if you were to go through the Ten Commandments, you will find that you have been guilty of at least half of those commandments. Everybody. And the Bible teaches us if you are guilty in one, you are guilty in all. So we are all sinful. So the law has a place. It reveals to us that we are sinners. But thank God for that grace found in Jesus Christ. That's freely offered to all. By faith. Faith is the only means of salvation. And my friend this morning, let me ask you, have you received God's gift of eternal life? It's by faith alone. It's by faith alone. You can make it a part of your life by believing on Christ, by receiving Him as your own personal Savior. And in Christ, we enjoy some wonderful benefits as Christians. Justified. Justified. Listen to me. Redemption. Propitiation. Righteousness, remission, we also enjoy the forbearance of God. It's a great salvation, is it not? And for those of us that are Christians, let me encourage you, let's go into the highways and byways and tell others. Because this is no Mickey Mouse salvation, this is it. This is the real stuff. This is what will deliver men, women and children from spending eternity in a place called hellfire. And my friend this morning, if you are here without Christ Jesus as your Savior, let me tell you off the bat, your works, your efforts have no bearing on salvation because you cannot be good enough to meet up to God's perfect standard. But God has a remedy. Jesus Christ died, was buried and rose again. And if you will repent and by faith receive Him as Savior, you can be born again. And be justified. Christian, I'd like for you to meditate upon these six wonderful benefits that we enjoy in Christ Jesus. Please don't take your salvation for granted. Please don't. I trust you'll leave this morning with a thankful spirit for the salvation that was purchased at an expense, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And my friend, if you're here without Christ Jesus as Savior, I'd like to encourage you, please, will you receive Him as your Savior this morning? Let's bow for prayer.